Thank you for joining me again. Hey, we are starting a new series on peace. And this is going to be great. We're going to take a few minutes, more of an overview message today. We're going to talk about what is peace. You know, where does peace come from? How do we stay in peace? And who gives the ultimate peace? Peace that passes understanding, that doesn't even make sense. So we're going to look at those things today. You're going to want to join us for just a few minutes. It's going to be great. All right, so let's just get right to it. Let's talk about peace. Well, when you use the word peace, you're talking about harmony, concord, security, safety, and prosperity. You know, the world looks for peace. People strive for peace. People spend their lives, money, and time trying to bring peace to themselves. We need to have an honest look at what peace is and what it isn't. Webster's dictionary definition says this about peace. It says, number one, it's a state of tranquility or quiet. Number two, it's freedom from disquieting or oppressive thoughts or emotions. Number three, it's a harmony in personal relationships. Number four, a state or period of concord between governments or countries. And number five, it can be used to ask for silence or calm. Peace. Peace was also in history used as a verb. It's obsolete now. We know also in the 60s and 70s they used peace as a verb. You know, peace out, man, or he's peacing out over there. We don't use peace as a verb now, but peace as a noun, as a state of being. Peace. You know, when we look at the opposite of peace, it is very understandable why people desire peace and look for it. Let me just list a few because there are so many, it is unbelievable. Here's some: conflict, contention, discord, strife, trouble, tumult, unrest, upheaval, fighting, warfare, battle, combat, war, strain, stress, tension, desperateness, nervousness, fear, fearfulness, torment, upset, doubt, dread, foreboding, uncertainty, agitation, alarm, anguish, and the list continues. Anxiety, anxiousness, apprehension, uneasiness, vexation, worry, commotion, pandemonium, unquietness, uproar, conflict, discord, dissension. That is a lot of opposites of peace, and none of those do we want. Here's some synonyms of peace, because the last bunch was really negative. Here's something peace is: peacefulness, calm, calmness, heart ease, serenity, tranquility, harmony, quiet, order, stability, safety, prosperity, security, freedom, from all of those antonyms we just mentioned early. Peace, it is so important, and it is something that you and I truly can have. So where does real peace come from? I'm going to, of course, talk to you from the Bible, and I'm going to give you where real peace comes from. Psalm 29 and verse 11 says this: the Lord gives his people strength. The Lord blesses them with peace. Psalm 119 and 165 says this: those who love your instruction have great peace and do not stumble. Proverbs 16 in verse 7 has this to say: when people's lives please the Lord, even their enemies are at peace with them. So peace, according to Scripture, comes from the Lord, and we play a part in that peace. I want to say this: true peace is not, or does not only come from circumstance, but it is something inside. It is something that you and I possess inside despite of our circumstances. I want to tell you a story here for just a minute. It's a story I found online, and I believe it gives a good picture of peace. And it says this: it's a story of a king who says to his people, I want to give a great prize to the person who will paint me a picture of peace. And there were many great painters sent to the king. Several of the best art pieces were put out. One of the pictures among the various masterpieces was of a calm lake, perfectly mirroring peaceful, towering snow-capped mountains. Overhead was a blue, clear sky with fluffy clouds. The picture was perfect. Most of the people who viewed the picture of peace from various artists thought, this is definitely the best among them all. But when the king announced the winner, everyone was shocked. The picture which won the prize had a mountains too, but it was rugged and bare. The sky looked very angry. There was lightning. This did not look peaceful at all. It looked like the artist had mistakenly submitted his painting depicting storm rather than peace. But if anyone looked closely at the painting, he could see a tiny bush growing in the cracks in the rocks. And in the bush, a mother bird had built her nest. In the midst of the rush of angry weather, the bird sat on her nest with peace. This truly depicts real peace. Peace that is not determined by our circumstance. Peace that is not determined by our world, what we see or what is around us. But peace on the inside. So how do we get this kind of peace? How do we stay in this kind of peace? You know, as I began to look at Scripture, I saw that there were many, many, many verses about peace. And I'm just going to give you a few today from Isaiah about peace. Isaiah talks a lot about peace. And let me give them to you fairly quickly. It's this. Here's the first one. Isaiah 26 and verse 3. You, Lord, will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. Isaiah 32 and verse 18. It says, and my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation and in sure dwellings and in quiet resting places. God is promising his people peace. Those who trust on him, he says, I'll give peace. Listen to Isaiah 54, 10 to 15. Now, this is a few verses, but I want you to listen closely to it because it is amazing. It says, the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed. But my kindness shall not depart from you. Nor shall my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has mercy on you. Oh, you afflicted one, tossed with tempests and not comforted. Behold, I will lay your stones with colorful gems and lay your foundations with sapphires. I will make your pinnacles of rubies, your gates of crystals, and all your walls of precious stones. All your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. In righteousness you shall be established. You shall be far from oppression, for you shall not fear, and from terror, for it will not come near you. Indeed, they shall surely assemble, but not because of me. Whoever assembles against you shall fall for your sake. Here is God promising his people great peace. Peace even when other things are not going well. But God says, I'll give you peace. You need to understand something, that in the day and age when Isaiah is prophesying, there was not world peace. There were strong superpowers taking over the world, one from another. There was war, there was famine, there was hardship. But God said, I will give you peace. True peace comes from the Lord. Isaiah 55 and 12 says, you will live in joy and peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song, and the trees of the field will clap their hand. You will live in joy and peace. This is the verse God gave us at the beginning of this year. Do you know that God brings peace even in the middle of a storm? And God says, I will cause you to live in peace. You know, if you're worried or anxious about the future, You need to put your trust in the one who holds the future. And his name is Jesus. He can give you peace that passes understanding. The verse I read previously about how he promises peace for your children even. You know, when things are going wrong, sometimes people are anxious thinking, what about my kids? God says he wants to give them great peace. Can you trust him? He's a good God. Isaiah 57, 19 to 21 says this. I create the fruit of the lips, peace. Peace to him who is far off and to him who is near, says the Lord. And I will heal him. But the wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. You need to understand something. The God we serve, his heart, his desire is to bring peace to all people who want it. But wickedness keeps it away. There are things that steal peace. Let me just give you examples. If you lie about something, let's say you're a young person and you lie to your parents, I guarantee you do not have peace even if they believe your lie. That lie steals your peace and brings worry and brings something opposite of peace. What about if you steal? Maybe you're someone at a job and in the past you've lied about your hours. You only worked 6, but you wrote down 8. You're not going to have peace. Your sleep is not going to be sweet. As a matter of fact, you'll be troubled by it deep inside. Maybe you can cover it, but it will be there. Or maybe you're someone who has a business and you're gouging people on a product like toilet paper. You will not have peace. Doing things opposite to God's will and purpose brings the opposite of peace. Our Creator God made this world and he put rules and laws into place that can cause us to live in peace. When we go against those, peace leaves us. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 to 7 says this. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. In other words, God's peace is beyond understanding. He will give peace when peace makes no sense. Because peace is not determined on your situation. It's not determined on the people around you. Peace comes from him. Maybe today you're someone and you're thinking, I would have great peace if I just didn't have so-and-so in my life. Maybe you're married and you're really struggling right now. Maybe you're thinking, well, if I just had someone else and not that person, everything would be wonderful. No, you won't have peace with somebody else. Peace is on the inside. Now, a person you're with or around can be creating disturbance and problems around you, but they cannot or should not be able to take the peace in you. So, peace that passes understanding comes through Jesus Christ. Jesus himself gives the ultimate, unshakable peace that can never be taken. And I want to finish up our message today by taking a bit of time to talk about that kind of peace. Isaiah 9, 6 to 7. He is prophesying forward of when Jesus would come to earth. And he says this, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. In the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He is prophesying of Jesus saying he will bring peace and there will be no end to the peace he brings. Isaiah 53 and verse 5 says this: "But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." Jesus is the answer for peace. He is the only one who can bring true peace. And he paid the price dearly for yours and my peace. Hung on a cross, whipped, beaten, speared, put in a tomb. He paid the price dearly. The chastisement of our peace. In other words, he was whipped and beaten so that you and I can have peace. The very gospel or good news of Jesus is called in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 15. It is called the gospel of peace. The good news of peace. Jesus brings peace. John chapter 14 and verse 27, Jesus says this: "I am leaving you a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give you, I'm not giving as the world gives. So don't be troubled or afraid." Jesus, before he would leave this earth, said, "I'm going to give you a gift of peace, not like the world." In other words, I will never take it back. I'm not going to steal it or take it from you. I'm giving it to you, and it's going to be yours. In Mark chapter 4, 37 to 39, we read the story where Jesus is with his disciples in a boat. Jesus has told them, "Let's go to the other side of the lake." They get out on the Sea of Galilee. And when they get in the sea, a storm comes, and there's great waves and tempest, and the waves begin to come into the boat. And Jesus is asleep with his head on a pillow at the back of the boat. The disciples become extremely fearful in this situation, and they wake him up and say, "Don't you care? We're all about to drown." And Jesus says to them, "Why are you afraid? Where's your faith?" And then he stands up, he looks at the storm, the lightning, the wind, the waves rolling in, and he points out at them and he says, "Peace, be still." You see, Jesus has the answer for your storm. Jesus knows how to calm what's going on inside you and around you. And he wants to do it. He is that good. You know, I want to finish up today maybe a little different, but first off, I need to ask you, if you've accepted Christ into your life, if you truly have him as the source and the center of your peace, if you haven't done that, you will search for peace all your life, and you may feel at moments you have it, but you'll lose it. True peace comes from allowing Christ to come into your life, to forgive you of your sin and your past, and make you new. If you want that today, I want you to repeat this prayer after me. And then when we finish that, I'm going to speak to the lack of peace for others, even Christians, and we're going to directly speak to it. But first, if you want Jesus in your life to bring that core of peace, I want you to repeat this after me. Say, "Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me, and I ask you now, come into my life, set me free, forgive me of all I've done wrong, make me new, let me know your true peace." Amen. If you prayed that prayer today, I want you to just let us know in the comments or message us. Get a hold of us. We want to encourage you. We want to bless you, give you things that can help you to grow and go forward. But before I finish today, I want to speak specifically to the lack of peace that people may be feeling right now, Christian or not. You may be in a position where there are a lot of things stealing your peace. And here's what I want to do today. I want to do something different. I want to, with you, declare peace to your storm. So I want you with me right now to put your hands like this. Hold them out as though you're cupping something. You're going to carry something. And now in your mind, I want you to put in your hands everything that is stealing your peace. Fear of not paying my bills. Fear of sickness. Fear that my kids are going to hurt themselves. Worry that my partner will leave me. Fear that there's going to be a world war. Whatever it is, you know what your fears are. Just right now, in your mind, put them into your hands. And then together, we are going to declare the words that Jesus spoke so many years ago when he was in that boat. We're going to declare them together. We're going to say together, we're going to say, "Peace be still in Jesus' name." Okay, that's what we're going to do. We're going to do it together, and we're going to declare it loudly. As a matter of fact, wherever you are, why don't you just stand up? You know, let's mean business with this. Let's say, hey, we're going to do this, and we're going to believe for complete freedom from the things robbing peace. So stand up right where you are. Your hands are up front in your mind. You've got everything in there that is stealing your peace. And together, on the count of three, we're going to, I would say, shout it, declare it loudly. We're going to say, "Peace be still in Jesus' name." Are you ready? On the count of three. One, two, three. "Peace be still in Jesus' name." Now go like that. Release those things stealing your peace. God bless you. I believe right now that there's people feeling the peace of God come over them. From the top of their head right through, you're feeling it. Even as you released, you felt things leave that are stealing your peace. Let him be your sure peace. Trust him. He's got you. He's bigger than anything you're dealing with. He loves you more than you can imagine. You know, right now, I feel there's someone getting peace in relationship. You know, when I said put whatever in your hand, I see someone, you thought in your mind, "I'm going to put my husband in here and maybe he'll disappear." That's not quite how it works. But you know what? If you put your relationship in there, God wants to heal and bring peace to your relationship. Right now, peace to that relationship. We speak it. We declare it in Jesus' name. Someone else, you put your kids in there. Again, your kids are not going to disappear, but God can bring peace to their minds, to their hearts, and to your relationship. Often when there's no peace because of a person, it lies in the connection, the relationship between people. We speak peace to relationships right now in Jesus' name. Oh, God loves you. He's got something amazing for you. Don't doubt him. Be blessed and live in peace.